One minute you laughing, next moment you crying. These are the tales from the grind with Erica and Corey.
All right, welcome to Tales from the Grind, episode number 2. I'm in the studio today with Corey. I am Corey Bills Sr. Welcome back, Corey.
What's going on, Miss Nashville Business Journal 40 under 40?
Yes, I'm still living
it. Know that, absolutely.
What about the cover, though?
Pretty saucy.
Yes, I was so excited when I saw that email. I get to be on the cover of Business Journal 40 under 40. What?
Congratulations.
Thank you. For those out there wondering who that voice is, that's our special guest today. We have Mr. Tommy Lewis, also my big brother. I told y'all last week I was so excited to have him on the show today. Say what's up to the people, Tommy.
What's up, y'all? We in here.
Tommy is an entrepreneur, a developer. He is a author, a motivational speaker. Corey was supposed to introduce him, so I'm kind of like on the fly.
No, I mean, keep flowing. My apologies. For some odd reason, the live is not popping up, so I'm having a little technical difficulties. Just a change. My apologies.
Yeah, well, you guys are in for a treat today. As y'all know, what Tales from the Grind is about, we're about helping you learn from experienced entrepreneurs, experienced people who are out here on the grind each and every day. And we take three stories from three specific moments in their lives to help you laugh at the grind, to help you sympathize and learn from the hardships of the grind, and to help you celebrate them and their wins so that you see yourself one day in that same position. And so we are going to start the show off by passing the mic to Tommy and asking him to share something hilarious that's happened to him on the grind. But before you do that, introduce your business, introduce what you do so people will know, like, why they should listen to you, cool. Why you important.
Cool. Well, leave it up to my wife and kids. That's always important, right? that's neither here or there. But I'm the one of the controlling owners of Square Footage Maintenance and Remodeling, locally based out of Hendersonville, serving Middle Tennessee and surrounding counties. We are definitely making some good strides in trying to be the very best that we can be in this remodeling and building game. We've done a lot over the years of being in business and trying to build and maintain a reputation for excellence for the work that we put out. Some of our finished products is absolutely extraordinary. So we're just trying to go above and beyond the normal and do a very good job. From anything from maintenance to remodeling to new construction. So that's what we do at Square Footage Maintenance and Remodeling.
That's what's up. And you're self-taught, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Self-taught and
absolutely.
Does some beautiful work. When I first saw a lot of the bathroom remodels that you were doing, my mouth dropped.
Yeah.
And I was like, man, how can I get involved with this? Let me do your social media. Yeah. I want to show the world what you can do.
I remember that. I definitely remember that.
Yeah, very proud. Okay, so talk to us about a moment on your grind that just had you laughing either at yourself or something that you saw and maybe that you even learned from that. It was hilarious, but you still was able to take something away from it.
Gotcha. So this is recently. This is, I think this is coming to the close of 2019.
Okay.
So we had got we've got a phone call to come out and put in a remodel, a really, really nasty place. I'm talking, man, when I tell y'all this place was nasty, it was nasty. So we have to
you got to describe what nasty.
Yes,
is.
You got to paint a picture for us.
I'm talking like.
Was it roaches falling from the ceiling?
Man, these
are
70s and 80s generation
was it a Chinese
roaches.
Oh, my God. In the back?
I'm not kidding you, Corey. This place was so contaminated that they actually had to exterminate 3 or 4 times before we were even able to come in to do the remodel.
Wow.
I mean, we were changing out. We were finding live roaches for months in this place. But the thing is that when we got it, it was in such bad condition, but we posted before and after videos and things so you can really see the journey that we took to get to that point.
Yeah, I would have loved to see pictures of that.
I tell you what, this was one job that I literally wanted to say, look, thanks, but no thanks. I'm done. But we went in and we got it done. and got it to where it looks absolutely amazing. You know, carpet, paint, all of that stuff. Now, get this. We had to come back because they wanted to install a dishwasher. So I'm like, oh, my God, I got to go back to the Rose Motel. Mm-hmm. That's what we deemed it. So with that being said, I end up going back to the place to install the dishwasher. And there's a young lady there, and her son's at work, and she's there. She's upset. She's irate, you know, because scheduling had gotten mixed up from a third party that sends the work to us. So I explained to her, ma'am, I'm going to do everything I can to make this happen today. So when I knocked on the door, introduced myself, and went in and started to do the work, and she pulled me to the side. She said, listen, you're going to have to get all of this finished today because I'm not going to be here tomorrow. I'm like, ma'am, I'm going to attempt to get everything done. She says, well, and I get to work. You know, I'm really focused on what I got to do.
Right.
Make a long story short, I get in there. We tear out the necessary things to install the dishwasher. The lady says, you're not going to be able to make it. You're not going to be able to finish, are you? This is maybe an hour or two later. Like, nah, ma'am, it doesn't look like it. So with that being said, we went ahead and put the dishwasher in. I told her, ma'am, I'm going to have to come back tomorrow to finish up. So she says, no, I'm going to call your boss.
Oh, wow.
I said, okay. That's right, right. So, you know, me being me, I'm fun-natured. So she said, can I have your number so I can call the office? I said, sure. So
she don't know that you're the boss, though.
Right.
She don't know everything.
She don't know okay. nothing. So, you know, I let her call the number, and sure enough, my phone was sitting on the kitchen counter, and every time she sat over there, you know, real tight-lipped and upset, my phone would ring. And it went on for about 20 minutes. So
before she realized,
I would have loved to have seen her face.
Man, it was too funny.
Oh, my gosh.
So finally, I did answer the phone.
In front of her?
In front of her. So, yes, square footage. Kind of, you know, she looked at me. She gave me this really dirty look. Like, so I was like, ma'am, I'm sorry, but
Tommy ain't going to be able to finish the job.
I'll talk to him.
Though.
Make sure he does better next time.
I'll reprimand him.
Okay.
That is too funny. But look, so you said something about you guys started not to take the job. Has there ever been a time where you're like, no, we're not going to do it? And how do you make that decision to turn jobs down?
Well, to be honest with you, I think you got to calculate everything because, you know, in business, everything is a risk anyway. So you really have to calculate everything from a profit and loss standpoint. If it's not worth your time being there, you don't want to take that job because you have to have a little bit of insight. Is this going to cost me in the long run?
Right.
And unfortunately, you know, as a young entrepreneur, I had to go through those trials and tribulations and learn by my mistakes, you know. And sometimes you can take jobs and get in over your head, and then you're stuck holding the bag because, you know, everything that we do is contracted.
So just a segue to a point, I think you said the right words. As a young entrepreneur, you had to experience some trials and tribulations, right? Now, when you was experiencing some of those trials and tribulations, did you have a good support system? Or where were you at mentally when you know that you took on a job that was too big for you to chew? Like, you know what I'm saying?
Corey, excellent question. I can think of many times and many learning experiences that I had to have that you would literally lose sleep. I mean, you know, when there are large contracts on the table and we're talking, you know, I lose sleep still over a $10,000 job because I can't afford to lose, you know. So, but when you get into $300,000, $500,000 jobs and they're under contract, and let's say that something so simple as your material takeoff didn't come in right at the right number.
Okay.
And you're looking at, where am I going to come up with $35,000?
Right.
So, you know, that's enough to keep you woke at night. You know, especially when you got to pay your subs and employees and people out of pocket every week, you know.
So what type of delays did you experience? So you said, like, when the material may not come in, well, you know, is that on your side? Is that not having the right people making the phone calls to ensure? Like, did you have an assistant? Did you have someone that would do all the follow-up for you?
Well,
or were you a one-man show?
In the beginning, to be honest with you, in the beginning, I built this company from a two-pouch and an old Dodge Intrepid that my kids call the Green Machine.
Okay.
I have no problem saying that because God knows we're a long ways away from Green Machines. But I had one of my biggest supporters was my wife and my children cheering me on.
I love that, yes.
And you know, I had to learn a balance, Corey, Erica, because I couldn't take everything home all the time.
Okay.
Because there had to be a balance in the household from the stress from work and the stress from running a business.
What year did you recognize the balance?
The balance was, it was not, probably about the third or fourth year in.
Okay.
Yeah. When she threatened to, you either get it together, see ya.
That's the same thing that got him in check. That's what he said last week.
Yeah. So, right.
Yeah, so that's a great segue into getting into the times that where you just felt like saying, yeah, I don't want to do this anymore. Yeah. So yeah, so tell us about, you know, a time in your life where you were just like, no, I can't do this anymore.
We're located in great proximity to a build that we did for, and I won't mention companies because we're still in litigation with some of these things. So
yeah,
I won't mention
sued.
Companies and do that. You know, I'm not trying to get countersued for stuff.
Right.
We'll call it tales from the lawsuit.
Tales from the lawsuit.
Right.
Tales
no.
From the
tales from the employment line.
But we are in close proximity to a bill that we did. We did I think it was a $300,000 bill to renovate and put a pool on top of a 13-story building. Some things came in via change order. And most business people know in my world what change orders are. Change orders are going to be separate from the original contract. You know, these are things that's unforeseen. Well, you know, it's about $80,000-$100,000 worth of change orders. And, you know, doing business, keep in mind, we've done zeros, plural zeros with these people before. And I didn't think it was going to be a problem. So, you know, our company at the time had to have a working capital of $60,000 at any given day. That had to be in your account to function.
Mm-hmm.
And that's bare minimum. Well, it ended up, you know, taking about $130,000 to close that project out. And that had to come from our company. Me personally, we had to contribute. The company had to, you know, find all the resources to get this thing done and bring the project to green tag. Well, we brought the project to a green tag, filed for the change orders and wanted those things to be, you know, answered and those invoices to come back. They had a little trouble with it, ended up going to court, trying to sue to get our money out of it. But, you know, that was one of the challenging times where, you know, after building this thing for, at the time, 8-10 years, I was devastated, you know.
Wow, yeah.
I was devastated. I'm like, man, I can't just fork out, you know, over $100,000. Out of the company's account and personally to try to get this building done.
Money,
so
yeah,
the company expected you to eat that amount.
Yeah.
So when you say bring it to green tag, that means you completed the project.
Yeah, that means the city signed off. That means the structures are approved. The city signed off. Codes are signed off. The fire marshal signed off. So, you know, construction is a big liability game.
Yeah.
It's a big liability game. And if you're not prepared to pivot and to navigate through those things. And the biggest thing is if you don't have foreseen knowledge of setting yourself up to put yourself in another spot versus the liability, then you're gonna be in trouble.
So basically you're saying anyone that's an entrepreneur that's gonna get into your line of work as being a general contractor, real estate developer, that having a long-term game plan is necessary.
You got to have a long-term game plan. I mean, if you don't have an exit strategy, then you're gonna this particular industry is bad on your back, your knees, your mind, you know, mentally, physically. It's a grinding. I mean, when I say tales from the grind, come work with me for a week, and we'll define the word grind. Because you're going to get out there and you're going to get it. It's really physically demanding. So if you don't have an exit strategy, a long-term strategy to build some residual income, create some generational wealth by buying rental properties and passing them on to your children for passive income over the years, then you basically just need to go and find another job.
Wow. And it sounds like you need to talk to Corey, too, to get that Keyman insurance.
Gotta have Keyman insurance.
Yeah.
Disability insurance.
Yeah, you better know it.
Long-term shit. Appreciate the plug.
Yeah.
That was the plug. That's 40 under 40.
Yeah, that was
we all need that.
I know
was
how to do business.
Too.
Yeah.
Love it.
Yeah, that's very important. Keyman, I was telling somebody about that today. You got to have a Keyman policy because if you are the key man in your business, if you go down, you better have some type of supplement.
Yeah.
Especially you almost, like you said, you was you experienced a deficit of almost $100,000 that you had, you was going to have to eat because everything was signed over. So I know that can present a lot of sleepless nights.
Oh, man.
Coupled with the fact that you were still finding balance within your household. Because
it was no balance in the house at that point.
No balance in the house at that time.
Shay was upset. You know, she was upset.
Because you think about it, like when you take on a business, every decision that you make affects your household. So if he was stressed out about it, then of course she had to have been stressed out about it too.
And it's just a trickle down effect from the husband, the wife, the kids.
The kids, yeah. The dog.
Barking so much.
Shut him up. Get your ass outside. Yeah, that's true. That's very true.
Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about a moment in your life. Like, when did you realize that, okay, this is what I really want to do? I can see myself exiting in this and this making me money. I can take care of my family. I don't have to worry about going back to a 9-to-5. When did that moment happen for you, and what did you feel like?
That moment happened when I worked for NIC Global. I was working for Nick Global, which is a sister company for Peterbilt.
Explain people what Peterbilt is.
Peterbilt is a trucking company.
Trucking company, okay.
A manufacturer's brand for trucks, dump trucks and stuff like that, line haulers, 18-wheelers. So I was working for them doing some work out there. I think it was welding something that day, and I picked up this big piece of welding, whatever it was, iron. And it's routine. So with that being said, I had to go ahead and get this welding thing up. I felt something pop in my belly, and it immediately just crumpled over and bent over and ended up, make a long story short, I had ruptured two hernias at the same
time. Man.
So it put me out of work for a while. And, I had to figure out something to do because, you know, at this time I got a lot of kids and I got a lot of child support and I've got to pay, these bills. And thank God, that my wife was able to pick the slack up and keep everything moving while I was out. Works comp didn't want to give me nothing but $2,500 for the incident.
I'm like, right.
Man, I might have worked for 3-4 months. Y'all want to give me $2,500? No, it's not going to happen.
Total.
For the incident. So, I lawyers went in, got me a little bit more money, which was nowhere near what I needed to make up for the loss. But long story short, when I went back, I knew that they wasn't going to give me back my position. They couldn't take my pay, but they weren't going to give me my position.
Right.
So you can go ahead and exit yourself.
Yeah,
you
know, exactly.
Like a traffic cop.
Yeah. So I'm already coming. So, obviously, I'm like, okay, so all right, fine. We'll deal with it. So at that point, I started to think. I said, listen, if I can't make the amount of money that I need to sustain my household, to make sure that my child support's paid, my children, to make sure that the lifestyle that we've already given our children is sustained by working a 9-to-5, then I'll create my own income.
Yes.
I won't punch a clock again, So, and in order to do that, I had to rely on something that my granddaddy, our grandfather, instilled in us.
Oh, Pops.
He was a builder. Pops was a builder. I mean, he could build anything. And that's my example. That's my hero. All the way down to my uncles, Rodney Patrick with Quality Home Builders. Excellent. That's my mentor.
Having a mentor is so important.
Another plug.
Yeah, another plug.
Yeah.
But my uncles, they really, really helped us out with that. And I relied on skill trait and the ability, the God-given talent that he gave me. And so what happened is I used those talents and I start birthing income, And then I had to start touching up and getting back in the routine of how to run a business, the fundamentals. And then building on those fundamental building blocks, like I said, through trial and error, mistakes, mentorship,
right.
Things like that. Before you know it, hey, we were giving other people opportunities to make money too.
Hey, I love it. And that, like what you said, is so important. Yeah. The fact that you didn't even know, you had no idea what you were doing when you went out there. You was like, I'm not working 9-to-5 no more because you are trying to play me right now.
Yeah,
so I'm trying to try to figure this out on my own.
It was either that or go back to the concrete. And, there's no way that I can sacrifice my kids and go back to the streets.
Right.
So I had to take
the skills you learn from the streets.
And apply them to the corporate world.
And apply them to the corporate world.
Which is no different.
Yeah,
no different
at exactly.
all. Because at the end of the day, you created your own economy.
Created my own economy.
And then that's the most important part.
Absolutely.
Of it all. I mean, I was able to take some of the same skill sets from
the grind.
From the grind. Being on the block. to running the business, and I had my trials and errors, still suffering a little bit, but I've came a long way from where I first started. But, you know, on top of this, though, Tommy, because this is a great story so far, I mean, just hearing from the block, child support, balance, indifference, you know, with your wife, things of that nature. And then, like you say, you have other children, so there's other women involved as well, from the Green Machine to the Intrepid. You know, let's get to, when did you have your Kendrick Lamar moment? Now, you know what I'm saying? When did you have the moment like, Tommy, I made it? At what point? Was it at a restaurant when you ordered a $50 steak versus going to Logan's? Like, what was that moment? Please paint that picture, that moment when you knew that you was in a good spot.
Well, you know what? I'm going to be honest with you. That moment really haven't just 100% came to fruition yet.
Okay.
Because there's so much that I want to do to diversify and build from where we started, from the Two Belt and the Green Machine.
Okay.
I got a long way to go. But
that's because I could tell because when I pulled up in the truck, you sitting in the hump.
Oh, man.
You're a long way from the Green Machine.
Right.
I'm like, I got to step my game up.
No, man. Hey, I looked over. You put lotion on like, you
in
know,
the rain.
In the rain. Hey,
lotion coming right back up.
Oh, man.
No, it's still melanin popping. Yeah, I'm talking about.
Hey, but you know what? I did have a glimpse of when I felt like that it was going to be okay. And that was when, you know, I can make sure that my children don't have to wait and ask, and I have to put them on hold, you know, make sure that, you know, my wife is taken care of and we don't have to worry about how we're going to pay the bills next month. You know, get in a position to maneuver to use the income that comes in and govern and be a good steward over it.
Okay.
And start planning ahead and putting yourself in a better position. Let me know that I was a long way away from waiting on that 40 hours, you know, I went from working 40, 50 hours a week and getting a paycheck that said, this is not a check. You know, they had the audacity to send me a check for 2 cents. I still have that check stub.
Wow.
2 cents. Because 2 cents. Child support was taking everything.
Mm.
So I knew that I had to create something else. And when I was able to make those payments on time, that's when I knew that I'm good. When, you know, when you go,
that's the moment right there. That's the Kendrick Lamar moment.
You know, this was my Kendrick moment the most. When you're sitting in court and you're in contempt, and they say, "Well, Mr. Lewis, you're X amount of hundreds of $1,000s behind. We're gonna put you in jail. We're gonna take your license." No, you're not, ma'am. Here's your check.
Right. When you can do that,
when you can make those deals and you can
and pay out of your own pocket, like they're not drafting no check.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that made me feel like I'm able to sustain my family. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
Because being an entrepreneur is not all about, you know, just making a lot of money. It's a journey of growth.
Mm,
and I was telling my sister,
that's
the
word right there, most definitely.
Corey, I was telling her this morning. I know we got to get this segment done, but I was telling Erica this morning. You know, a lot of people stand back and they'll watch your progress. And they'll do a financial assessment based on what they see on Facebook, what they see you post, you know, your advertisement for social media. They'll make a financial assessment about you, but they don't understand the finances that go into making that money.
Absolutely, you know that's the part. I mean, you said something very, very powerful. There's a lot of people out here counting pockets, pocket watching, right?
Pocket watching,
but they're not counting. They're seeing the highlights. They're seeing the results.
Yeah.
Of the work, but they're not seeing what you had to put in
wait,
to get into that. Absolutely.
A $50,000 project that you can sign a contract on for a bathroom, kitchen remodel. You know, the company may profit $400 to $500, and I take a salary, so it don't matter what the company profits. I know what I'm going to make every week.
You yeah,
know?
And that's important because as an entrepreneur, even as a founder, you put yourself on payroll.
You have to.
You know what I'm saying? And most people, they don't understand that. They think because you're advertising a company on social media, you got hundreds of thousands or millions of dollars in the bank.
Yeah.
And even if you do have millions of dollars in the bank, that money belongs to the company, and I'm on payroll.
That's right.
Yeah, and they don't understand that.
It's big business, and I mean, you just gotta stay true to what you want, and go out and get it. That's all I can say. The best advice I can give is, you got an idea to even be an entrepreneur, you're already in a class by yourself, because most people can't even conceive an idea to turn a profit. So if you have that idea and then you act on that idea, that separates you from the regular 9-to-5 job.
Yeah.
because you're already in a position to say, I think I can do this.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I'm going to try this. It just gets scary as hell.
It's scary as hell.
When you got to jump off that porch.
Man, what you said, we were talking about that last week, not having that covering. Oh, you know, when you worked for a company and then you decide to jump out there on your own, you no longer have
too,
that
girl.
Covering.
Yeah,
you know?
Most definitely. That's,
yeah.
That's difficult. So, you know, we're going to do this thing called One Word.
True.
Okay.
One word, all right?
All right.
So we talked about the times of trials and tribulations. We also talk about the times I'm going to press forward. And we're also going to talk about your Kendrick Lamar moment.
Okay.
So to the entrepreneur that is going through trials and tribulations right now,
right.
What is that one word? Everybody put one word in the comment that's watching us. What's that one word that they need to lean on?
Consistency.
Consistency in what way?
In everything.
Profitable consistency?
Profitable. You have to stay consistent no matter if you're profitable or no matter you're taking a loss. Because, see, most people get into a situation to where they feel, you see, it's good riding the wave up. And that's trajectory going up.
Yes, yeah.
It feels good to, you know, make some money and wow, man, I can pay my bills and take care of my family.
But when the waves come crashing down,
you got to have the same consistency.
Mm-hmm.
You got to be able to deal with that trajectory, no matter if it's going in a positive or a negative or a green to black. You got to maintain consistency. And without that, you will fail.
Okay.
You will fail 100%.
So Eric, he said consistency is the word for the entrepreneurs. It's in the trial and tribulation part of your journey right now.
Yep.
All right. The moment that you just knew that, hey, we're going to the next level, regardless, what word is that?
Resilience.
Resilience.
And the reason why I'll say that is because we shut down overnight. We shut down overnight. I remember Shay, my wife, was telling me, hey, you know, we're gonna get through this. We actually shut down overnight, and then what we did was we opened back up the next day. And it was a sense of resilience. I'm telling you, man, that support system that you got to have, whether it be via your wife, whether it be a mentor or just someone you can talk to. My sister's my support system sometimes. Because
okay.
When Shay don't want to hear it no more, she's like, I can't. I'm calling my sister.
Right.
You know, and I got to respect my wife, man. I couldn't have done, you know, these things without her and support of my kids because I'm gone a lot. You know what I'm saying? So,
right.
That resilience part, when I look at them and I see them enjoying life and the things that I didn't have, I grew up with no parents, you know, besides my mom, Desi and Hank, and my grandparents. So I had to be resilient.
All right, one last word because we're going to have to give Miss Erica Harville the final word.
Gotcha.
What is the Kendrick Lamar word? What was your one word? No explanation, just the one word for the moment that, hey, we win it.
I remember saying, let's get it. It wasn't one word, Corey. It was like two or three.
Well, we enjoy talking to you. Like you said, you know, with me being your support system, you already know you my support system. I call you anytime. Like I was telling them last week on the show, when I had that moment, I'm done.
Yeah.
I was like, he was like, nah, you ain't just say that. And talk to me for an hour and like raise your vibrations and I'm going to call you back. He said, I'm going to hang up 20 minutes, put your phone down, shut your computer off and raise your vibrations. And he called me back 20 minutes exactly.
Yeah.
And so, like, I love you for that. And I hope y'all learned a lot from him today. You can follow him on social media. Tell him where to follow you.
Y'all can follow me at Square Footage Maintenance and Remodeling. Go and like our page, share our content. You can also follow me personally at Tommy Lewis. You know, I ain't got nothing to hide.
Yeah. Go look at his Instagram. Look at those bathroom remodels, man.
Yeah,
make your mouth drop.
Shout out to Shay. Shout out to Amanda Shay. And Miss Tina, I couldn't do this without you guys. I love you.
That's what's up. So this was Tales from the Grind today with myself, Erica Harville, and
Mr. Grinder himself. I am Corey Bill Sr.
We will see y'all next time.
Peace.
You laughed and maybe cried. You've been listening to Tales from the Grind with Erica and Corey. Download this episode for uncut and longer versions. Tales from the Grind. Keep grinding.